Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Being Yourself podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Being Yourself podcast. This is your host, Andres Sintra. And today I am honored to have a special guest who is a community leader who's been doing a lot of work out there in the community, has actually written a book, and I'm so excited to have this individual be here. I see this individual all over St. Pete. It's a St. Pete native and offers a lot of empowerment, and I'm so happy and so grateful to have this individual here with me today, and I'm looking forward to our conversation. Sierra Clark, welcome to the Being Yourself podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so grateful to be here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm so happy to have you here. And I know we've known each other for a short period of time because I've only been here at St. Pete for about a year now. And you're a St. Pete native, correct?
Yes. Born and raised. I call it snotty nose and barefoot.
Snotty nose and barefoot.
Yes.
Okay. You're going to have to explain to me where that comes from.
Snotty nose and barefoot because, it's not. Outside isn't the same. Our young people don't want to go outside. And so this is a time we love to go outside, like we cry to go outside. And the snotty nose part is like if we were in a heated game of kickball, nobody cared if their nose was running. You would just wipe it on your arm and continue to play. And the barefoot part was just really the enjoyment of how you could just go outside with no shoes on. So I remind myself that I'm snotty nose, but feet.
I love that. You know what? As you're explaining and describing those two terms, it reminded me of, because I grew up in Puerto Rico, and I remember growing up just having that liberty, that freedom, and we would walk out, and it's just like enjoying the nature outdoors and being outdoors and just enjoying that moment, and whether we were barefooted or whatever. And I don't know, when you were just describing that, it just reminded me of my childhood a little bit. That was kind of interesting there.
As adults now, we forget the childlike of us sometimes, the hustle and bustle in life, and we forget the childlike play. So when I introduce myself, I remind myself of those beautiful, holistic things that nothing has been able to replace those things. And so sometimes we think we can't wait to get adults. But in being adults, you still miss those childlike things.
I love that. And I think, we as individuals, and you're so right, our society makes us feel that we have to grow up so fast, and we have to have an education by a certain age. We have to have a career by a certain age. We need to have a family by a certain age. And we lose focus on enjoying our, like you said, our childhood, enjoying our progress, our journey in life. I agree with you 100%. It is so important that we recognize, like you said, our childhood, and reflect back on those experiences, because they define us in many ways. They define how we live our lives later on in the future and as adults.
I so agree. And so I'm an intentional person. And so intentionally try to be intentional, right? Because life does always give you moments. Like you'll be so wrapped up in being an adult and the goal and all these terms that they got, that you just forget those things that really make your heart smile. And then before you know it, years have gone by and you realize you haven't done the things that make your heart smile. You've done the adult thing, pay the bills, take out the trash, those things. But what about the holistic, the things that money can't buy kind of things? And we'll miss those moments. And so I intentionally try to keep myself to remember those moments, although you still got to be an adult.
I love that. And I want to go back to that because I want to talk a little bit about your book. But before we talk a little bit about your book and your experience and your journey, I kind of want to just have you introduce yourself for the listeners out there. You know, who is Sierra Clark, and anything that you want to share about yourself to our listeners?
Sierra Clark is it's just the heart on the sleeve. Like I'm a heart person. Like I'm really I'm intentional. I'm spontaneous. I'm trusting. And I'm community. I'm loving. I'm a present help, right? I'm a intentional reflection of our greatness. And then all the other stuff, right? I'm an author. I'm a daughter. I've turned my disability into a superpower because I didn't know I was dyslexic until I was in my, till I was 25. So I went through all high school, elementary school with this learning disability that the world calls. But before I knew I had a learning disability, I had already turned it into a superpower, which I realized when you are dyslexic, your brain does a thing. And so this helps me be the intuitive, sensitive, intentional person that I am. So I've honored this thing about me, and because I realize it's one of the cool, intentional, wonderful things about me that sets me apart from everybody else.
Wow, I really love that, and it is such an inspiring message, because I think many of us see our challenges as a negative or as something that just holds us back, rather than seeing those challenges as a superpower, as you said, like as an opportunity for bettering ourselves, to continue to grow and to use that to your advantage, because we always have to reflect on all the tools that we have as individuals and not letting anything weigh us down, but really use that as our, you know, to our advantage.
I didn't even know I was doing it. I realized that, you know, like world and just people was trying to get me to like fit in. And then I tried all of that, right? I tried to do it and be Sierra how people wanted me to be. And I realized that those things seem so unrewarding. Those, you would do the thing and then you would go home and not feel good enough about you. And I just realized, and that's how like the book happened. Like finding Sierra was literally about what this podcast is titled. It's just loving myself and being myself. And for a long time, I didn't know that was okay because the world didn't accept that I was different in like a cookie cutter world. Like it's almost, it's like if you don't fit in this mold, then something's wrong with you. And so you weren't appreciated for your uniqueness. You were judged, belittled, and made fun of. And so this is why I'm excited to be here, because I get to just like be myself, which is what I've fallen in love with.
You know, I mean, you're saying so many great things, and I continue to love our conversation because you're right. We, as a society, there's so many things that are put in place that it makes us feel that sense of belonging lacking, right? We don't feel that sense of like we belong here. We have to acculturate to a different culture, or we have to change who we are just to fit in to a different group of individuals. And we lose sight of who we are as individuals because we're so afraid, and society builds this expectations that makes us feel afraid of showing who we really are, our true self. And when you find and you allow yourself to be who you are and you own it, I think that's just the best thing, because it just makes you feel free. Do you feel like, you know, what was that journey for you? I mean, I know you said that you've been even working through that superpower, using it, but, you know, what was that journey? When did you figure out that, you know, this is who you are, and that you wanted to be who you are, and you didn't want to fit in into any of those expectations, and you tried it, and you didn't feel happy about yourself and all those kind of things? And when was that breaking point for you, maybe?
It was my divorce and my cousin passing away at 39 years old, being found in the shower by her teenage son. And so we grew up like sisters, and her birthday came before mine. So to know that she liked me and they're not, and I'm 30 and it's a turn 40, it was just who am I? Like, what are you? And then I want to take credit for it, but it was really like the deeper part of me finally standing up, because it had allowed me to punk fake, is what I call it. Like I punk fake on who I was, and I pretended for so long. So the inside of me spoke up. The tagline to finding Sierra is the only way out is in. And so literally I had to go within and to deal with the parts of me that I pretended to be, the parts of me that I watered down, the parts of me that I was seeing myself through the lenses of other people. And so removing the MUS, MUS is the made up stuff. I put it in the book. And so just removing the made up stuff and the narratives of everybody else. And I was left with finally my story. And then I realized that it was up to me that if I didn't like it or I wanted to change something, that only I am the person who can do that. And so it was the most scariest, beautifulest place that I've ever been. And so I've now fallen in love with transformation. I've fallen in love with the opportunity of being broken, because now you can be intentional of how you put yourself back together again and like who it is that you really want to become. And so now I'm not really scared anymore to journey through life. I'm always like looking for the experience. So even if I'm stumping my toe or if it comes with tears, I feel like there is joy still to be found even in those moments. And oftentimes we don't allow ourselves to embrace that. We only focus on the pain. We only focus on what the world has considered as bad. And not to know that even in the bad, there is still also good. So I kind of do the allow myself the two side thing. So like having your cake and eating it too, but I allow myself to see both sides, because oftentimes, like going through my divorce, I could have been stuck with feeling like something was wrong with me, but I was like, that's not true, you know? And so allowing myself to see the other side of the narrative and how, what wife that I showed up to be, and just realizing that my cousin was my number one superhero. Like she was like my biggest supporter. And so realizing these things, and then what do I want to do with what's left and what was there? And so I just took that, and I, like, it was like you put it all in one pot to intentionally find a different ingredient. Because in spaghetti, you got oregano, tomato sauce, you got onions, but what flavor is standing out the most? And oftentimes we make the nasty, bad flavor stand out in life and not appreciate the back hint of the oregano and the Parmesan or whatever else is there. And so I just learned to taste life differently, although it does come with bitter moments.
You know, there's I remember watching or reading this, but you know, many times we're always talking about, oh, I'm so grateful of another day, or I'm just so grateful for this good things that are happening. And we as society, we're always grateful for that good stuff. But we need to also be grateful for even the bad stuff. So if you're going to be grateful about life as a whole. That means that you have to be grateful and appreciate, even if it's pain, I get it, it doesn't feel good. But there's a learning, and you have to be grateful about all of it in life. Because we learn, we're constantly growing, and you have to take the good and the bad. You can't just want the good all the time. You have to also understand that life is all about the good and the bad. So you have to be okay with that and just go through life. And sometimes I get it. For some of us, is really easier said than done. But it is something that we have to realize as a society, as a culture, I think too, that we need to be better at.
Life was all. So this is, I think, we're on this narrative or kick that it's just supposed to be easy. And so, like, who's like, and why do we want it to be easy? And so, because I like metaphors, right? Metaphors is what helped me, because, again, being dyslexic, you got to like see the things, because I couldn't comprehend the words because they like moved around on the paper. So it's hard to comprehend what's dancing on you. So I had to take the words that I could and create a picture that I could understand, so I was able to take the test later. And so like with metaphors, so even with planes, so I create a picture. Planes go against the wind in order to take off. It has to go against the resistance so it can take flight. And oftentimes we just want stuff to like be easy. And then when you think of the butterfly, right? The butterfly has to work its way out of the cocoons for it to fly. And I was reading a thing and it said that if someone would pry the butterfly out of the cocoon, it would have done it a disservice. because the resistance is what builds up the strength of its wings so it can fly.
Oh, I love that. It's like when we parents, a lot of times parents, they want to, especially now in this newer generation, they want to do everything for their children. And as an educator, I work in higher education, and I see this all the time with students not knowing how to advocate for themselves, how to express themselves, or how to just ask for whatever they need. Because a lot of the times, parents are just doing it all for their children, or they don't want their children to fall, or they don't want their children to get hurt, or all these kind of things. And I think that's, goes back to that whole thing as a society that we need to fall. We need to learn how to do that. And then we need to go against the grain sometimes to grow. And that's okay, and not being afraid of it.
I think something that the younger people are now teaching some of the older people is that is okay, right? They were, I think, they were taught a way. And then so now, but that's the thing, it's hard to unsee what you've used for so long and you called it life. And so to now know that you don't need that thing that you thought you needed in order to have a great life can be scary for some people. And so, again, another metaphor. I went scuba diving and it was great because I'm really a mermaid, just so you know. So when I was asked what I wanted to be when I got older, I wanted to be a mermaid. And I realize now that I think just being under the sea sometimes it would have been a lot better than some of the stuff that's happening here on the planet. So, but nevertheless, so I went scuba diving and there I was the moment we did the training and now it was time to like go deep down in the big body of water. And I was freaking out. I'm talking about panicking, heart beating, and I'm like, I can't do this. And it was like, you can do this. And I'm like, I can't do this. Then it was like, you're gonna let us get this far and not give us the opportunity to experience something new. And so how I had to get myself to do it is to pretend like I didn't have a nose. Because if I remember that I had a nose, I died. So when we remember the thing that we're so used to knowing all my life, I got a nose. But at this moment, if I remember I got a nose, it does me no justice. It actually kills me, and I'm not even able to have the experience. So the way that I was able to get out of my way, get out of my head, so I can have this beautiful experience that I prepared for, that I did all the work for, was to tell myself that I powerful with the respiratory. So I
Alana.
could find out I didn't need my nose. And so that's how I was able to have this experience. But it's often sometimes the things that we know all our life that we can't see doing something without it. And so I say sometimes I don't need my nose today because I'm allowing myself to experience something different.
That is true, because it's kind of like you recognize a what maybe was holding you back, or just maybe reframing a little bit of like, maybe I need to think about this from a different perspective. And if this is holding me back, how can I put this in a different lens and rethink about it, so that I am not having this holding me back, and then kind of moving that forward, maybe. I don't know if I'm explaining it properly, but I feel like that's kind of like what you were kind of thinking about. Okay, let me reframe this in my head, and what can I do to move forward without letting this hold me back?
I'm like, you're a whole mermaid. You don't need a nose. Like, what you talking about? And in the moment I got down under the water, all the little fishies like swimmed up to me. They had their face to my mask and it was like, we've been waiting for you. And so had I not allowed myself to have a different experience, although my fear is there. And see, this is what I realize is that we can still do things although we are afraid, because sometimes we allow fear to get in the way to stop us, and our love feels like damage to sometimes people that we love because we allow the fear of the last relationship to overflow into the other relationship. But you can still do a thing and still be afraid, and that's what that taught me. Like my fear was just a feeling, And I can either let this feeling control me, or I can use this feeling to change my perspective so I can still do the thing.
Yeah, I think, and I agree with you. And I think it's reframing maybe the idea of fear as a bad thing. Maybe, and maybe the thinking of, I feel this is what I'm feeling. I'm feeling fear, but how can I use this to my advantage and really, you know, grow over that? Like, I agree. I think it's important that we reanalyze what our ideas or our thoughts of fear might be, because I think that's another way for us to move past it.
Yeah.
It, fear, in many ways, it makes us feel alive, right? It makes us feel like, you know, this is who we are. This is, and it's good. It has its, you know, psychological good things about it. And I think we need to reframe it from being that negative thing.
Something just so scary that you can't still take the next step. Like, it's just a human condition. Like, it's a part of the human experience. Tears is a part of the human experience. What we call as heartbreaks is a part of the human experience. Loving, being letting down is all a part of the human experience. And we sometimes take our human experiences and we hold so long. And then again, we're not acknowledging all the other ingredients that's happening in life. And so you'll take that bitter moment and hold on to it, and you'll forget that joy comes in each second. But you're so focused on the bitter that you're not even allowing yourself to continue to grow and still enjoy the rest of life. Like, there's still, especially if you're breathing, there's still so much happening outside of the one thing.
It's a very powerful thing. And I think when individuals, you know, rethink about it and really realize the power and the potential that they have, they can really utilize this as another, you know, weapon in their toolbox for how did they move forward with their life and how did they continue to grow as individual and continue on their journey.
No, I agree. I'm laughing because when I think of that, the toolbox just reminds me of Dora the Explorer. And sometimes when I'm mentoring with the youth, I use that as an analogy. Because again, many people know Dora the Explorer. And so Dora and Boots don't face nothing that they can't figure it out. Everything Dora needs is in her backpack. So I teach the youth that everything they need is in their brain. Like, your brain is your most strongest muscle. And then for adults, everything you need is on the inside of you. You, that thing that you thought that broke you was really the thing so you could see the thing that you need so you could get over the mountain. So things don't happen to us. They happen for us. And we don't always see. This happened to me. And then it's all about, you know, this thing. But it happened for you. That happened for you to do something about it, for you to change something, change a policy, do something, advocate for something, change, you know, be a reflection for someone else that you find that might be going through what you're going through. But it's not just for you to have a pity party. It's not just for you to be moping, especially for something that happened 5 years ago. Like, some people hold on to things for years and never allow themselves the opportunity to continue to live life without their nose.
Yeah, it's kind of like we get into that victim kind of mentality, and which is such a terrible hole to get into, because it's, once you're in there, it is so hard to get yourself out of there. So, you know, thinking about your experiences and the conversation that we're having and your book and what you bring, and I'm just wondering, how do you... you know, you do a lot of community work, you're doing youth work, but how do you get others to view it from that perspective where we're talking? How do you coach others? How do you, you know, you gave a couple of examples to the youth and to the adults, but, you know, how do you do that work?
So because I live in fear and my MUS for so long, I see it on people, right? Like, I can hear it. So I say that I hear the hearts of people. Like, it's almost like if I just hear it. So even though you're telling me something, like, I don't know, I hear the other side of it. And so I hear the hearts of people. So in that, I listen to what they're not saying. And this is how I'm able to talk to them. And then they were like, well, how did you know that? But you really told me that. You just wasn't aware that you told me that, because I learned to listen for the things that were not being said, because literally that's how I had to help myself. In reading, I had to find the things that really weren't there in order to know that was there, just because of how I was able to comprehend stuff. And so that unique ability, not disability, that unique ability has allowed me to use that as a universal gift to just really help people and hear what they aren't saying. So I'm able to hear what they aren't saying. Then I'm able to take my life experience, but also since I am inside of the community, whether it's my experience or something that I heard along the way, I'm able to have that in my backpack. So I'm able to now pull out to be a present help for someone else. So I take pride in putting myself in other people's shoes so I can like live their experience as much as possible. Because I don't, sometimes we wait for the thing to happen. But if I learn that, if I learn from you, then I'm not going to be so quick to go and not to go and do the thing that you did. So I can learn a lesson from you telling me, oh, Sierra, this and this, 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 this happened. And so now I'm mindful of that. And so when or if that experience knocks on my door, you already gave me a tool to know what to use in case it comes my way. And so that's why I love people and communicate with people, because what I'm doing, I'm just really gathering tools. I'm just really taking in notes and information. So when life gets the life in, because it absolutely will, like life will drop kick you and put you in the figure four and do all these things all at the same time. And you're still required to go to work. You're still required to be mom, be dad, be daughters, be mother, you know, all these things you're still required, while these invisible things are like knocking you out or taunting you. And so I hear those things because I've heard a lot of them myself. And so now I hear what people aren't saying. And that's how I'm able to coach them and meet them in that space, and then kind of like hold them and love them and do whatever. And then before they know it, it was like, it's gone. It's like, well, how did you get me over that? Because I got you over the thing. Because you didn't, it's just a weird, funky thing that I know how to do. It's like a universal, cool thing. And so yeah.
Listen to what they are not saying. I mean, I think that's something that we all, I mean, those out there listening really need to think about this. Like, really, when you're having a conversation with someone, I mean, that is so powerful. I mean, and being intentional. And I mean, just listening to you and like kind of understanding, I would probably assume that you have such an empathetic and empathic ability to you, or just personality to that. And that's maybe why you get to those people and they feel connected, because at the end of it all, we just want to feel heard, connected, understood. And in order for us to do that, we need to, have that understanding and not just say, oh, I feel you, or I understand you, or I hear you. No. I need you to feel it with me. And that's empathy. You know, it's kind of like that analogy, or if I can put this into pictures, a lot of people think of the difference between empathy and sympathy, right? If you see someone in a hole in the ground and they're stuck down there, and you're up there and you're like, oh, I feel so sorry that you're down there, let me get you some help, right? That's a sympathizer, right? They're not really, but an empathy is, oh my God, I'm going to get down there with you. That is empathy, right? I love it. I think that's fantastic.
I love meeting people where they are, because again, it's for me, it shows that I'm here with you. Because in the world that we constantly got to be all these things for, the world doesn't always make us feel like it's there with them, right? And so I know what that feels like. And so, and the cool thing is about it, I'm going to meet you there, but we're not staying here. So I'm going to meet you in this space, but the idea is to empower you. The idea is to figure out what's going on and to help you turn that struggle into an opportunity, or turn whatever you're going through as a stepping stone so you can get to your next level. And so that's the thing. I'm going to meet you there, but we can't stay here. We can't stay here. We can't stay here.
I love that, because you build that action item or that action step of saying, hey, let's take the moment to feel what we feel. And that's wonderful, because you should feel it. Feel it as much as you can. It's make it known. It's real. It's life. Okay, now what are you going to do next? How are we going to get out of this, right? And it's building those steps to get there, to get out of there, to see that opportunity as a learning growth and as a way to grow and continue that journey as an individual. You said, like we've been talking about, using that as your superpower, as your strength, as your toolbox, right?
Got to live and learn. Like, we got to live and learn. And now we're just going to live. But the great part about living is that you get to learn, which means you get to change the narrative, which means you don't have to do the same thing over and over again. And see, I didn't know that, right? I thought that I was my mom's condition. I thought that I was my dad not bothering. I thought that I was all these things that I had gone through, but I realized that those things came to me so I can really help other people who gone through them too, right? And so it wasn't just for me to, you know, do this old pity party and continue to be the victim. So now I learn how to use what I've gone through and become the victor because it happened. Like, who can I become because it happened? Not, oh, woe is me, this thing happened to me. But because it happened, who can Sierra now become? How can I now use this to empower what is currently great about me? Or even, how can I use this to help myself to no longer be something that I don't want to be, right? We got to be honest with ourselves. Like, so I now, like, it's like, ha, huh, I laugh in the face of danger, like from The Lion King, right? So now when stuff happens, I'm no more like, oh, Lord, here this happens. You know, I'm like, uh-oh, this happened. Even with tears in my eyes, I'm still looking for the opportunity. Like, I'm still looking for the moment that I can connect with someone. And so it's just been beautiful now being able to have both sides to learn and to grow from, and not just only seeing like one side of the coin or one side of life. Like, you get to see both sides, because if I can tell myself I can't, what if I told myself I can? And so then I started telling myself I can more and more, because even when I didn't feel like I can't, I was showing myself that I still was. And so I was like, oh, this I can't. It's just a feeling. It's just an emotion. And so, like, the truth don't care about your feelings is what I also say, too. Like, your truth don't care about your feelings. So although, yeah, you're sad and all these things, but your purpose don't care about that. Like, it's still waiting on you, and it won't go nowhere. And it's still going to be waiting on you to figure it out, because it's always going to be there. So get out your feelings and figure out what you're supposed to be doing, and smile from the inside out, kind of thing. So,
no, I love that. And I mean, you mentioned some great things and some thoughts that came to my head, because, you know, when we talk about that, you mentioned that you felt like a product almost of your parents, right? In a sense, right? Where many of us grew up in an environment that may have caused us trauma or caused us some type of psychological, right? And hurt or whatever it might be. And we grew up thinking that, oh, I'm the way that I am because of my parents, or my mom was this, or my dad was this, or I was abused, or I was all these things. And I think it's all legitimate, right? I'm not trying to discredit any of that. But I think that you're right that that is not a reflection of how you should live your life. You do have the potential to overcome that and utilize that, in a sense, also as a way of empowerment for you.
Yes, totally. Yeah, and so this is good. So a part of So I started creating, right? So I'm doing like heart work. And so I'm a artist, not an artist, because my pieces are about you seeing the beauty in you, not just on the canvas, right? And so, And so in the process of creating that, coming from going through my divorce, my cousin passed away. And so when I really, those things that really pain me, I use them for something. Like I'm either going to advocate around it. I'm going to create a statement about it, and I'm going to use it for something to now intentionally help other people. So now from going through my divorce, my cousin passing away, I now have what will be in this coming April 2025 will be my fifth anniversary of the Blue Lives Don't Care experience. And so from that, I created a clothing line. My cousin's favorite color was blue. And so I literally had to get, like, I was in the bed crying for like 3 days. And then it was just like, nothing's going to change. This isn't going to fix anything. You still got to go to work. Your bills is still coming. Like, this is not going to help, Sierra. So literally, I got to put my blue lipstick on. And so that's how the Blue Lips Don't Care experience came from. But I really feel like this was my cousin energy saying, if you don't get your butt up and be who I know that you are, like I know something. And so, and I did that with tears in my eyes. And I realized I got this blue lipstick on. And so from that pain, I turned it into something. So we got to use the things. And so then I created a clothing line, and it's called my JKB clothing line, and it's Just Keep Blooming. And so that was an acronym to help me use the stuff. And so again, I like metaphors and analogies. And so if you think about farmers use manure, which is manure is just cow, right? Mm-hmm. And so when you feel like life on you, you use that and you just keep blooming. Farmers use manure to fertilize soil. And so when things happen that makes us uncomfortable, that rubs us the wrong way, that brings us tears, that make us feel less than, you get to use those things. And so that's literally what I've been doing now, is taking these hardships, these disappointments, these life tragedy moments, and I've been creating them into something that not only had helped my family smile in the place that we cry, but it also helped other families who have experienced death be able to use that experience for them to also smile too, but to have the conversations around death. Because the thing, we don't want to talk about that, but death is as much a part of life as life is. And we plan for graduations. We're going back to school in our older years. We plan for gender reveals. Like, we got a lot of stuff that we plan for, but we don't plan for the thing that we know is going to happen, although we'll never be prepared for when it's going to happen. And so I started using everything that happens to not just be the victim, but to be the victor in different forms. So that's what I've been doing.
So you're doing a clothing line. You have your book. And I see on your Facebook and everything, you're always doing some type of empowering speeches or stuff like that. What else do you have going on?
Let me see. I got my books. You mentioned that. And so I'm just really big in the community. Like, I'm so, my newest thing is that I'm partnering with community initiatives. So like with nonprofits and organizations that, you know, have events going on, I want to be like the street person for them to make sure that the community knows what's happening and that community knows that we want to include them. Because oftentimes being in the community, I hear from people, oh, I didn't know that was happening. Oh, I didn't know. And so I think that the community wants to feel included. Like, a part of them being empowered is to know that we did this event with you in mind. And how do you know that we did this event with you in mind? Because someone like me is going to come to your door and say, hey, this event is happening in the community and we want you there.
No, I love that. And as you know, like, we're both in community roles, being part of neighborhood associations and that kind of stuff. So I think that's fantastic. That's something that we both share. I know we're coming up in time, and I wanted to, you're such a empowering person, and it's just so uplifting and just inspiring. So, but out for those listening out there, you know, if there's something that maybe in your journey in your life, and maybe from your book or something that you wanna, you know, what is the listener out there maybe should do, or I don't know, something inspirational for them out there listening.
If you so I realize so sometimes like when we complain about stuff, that might be the thing that you're supposed to do, right? So I want to encourage the listeners that if it's the thing that like makes you cry or makes you angry or you feel like no one else is, then maybe that's your genre. Then maybe you are the one that has the tool that's supposed to fix the thing, right? And so it's not for you to continue to keep complaining about that it's not there and it doesn't exist and no one's paying attention to it. Maybe it's waiting on you to do it. And so I just want to encourage you that to do it, right? And do it. And you might not don't even know where to start, but to start somewhere. And if I could encourage you to use your words, right? Affirmations was a really, really big thing for me when I started finding myself, because I had really stinky thinking about myself. And so I had to intentionally put affirmations all on the wall. Like I wrote them out, printed them, and I had them all over the wall. I had them in the car. I had them in the shower. I had them in the closet because I really needed to unlearn some things. And so if you need to unlearn some things, then give yourself the opportunity to let go of those things that are no longer serving you. Right? If it's not getting you to where you want to go, where it makes you feel good on the inside and the outside, when your language is positive to yourself and the person next to you, then maybe it's no good for you. Maybe you need another tool to do the thing. And just because you can hammer a nail into the wall with a high heel shoe, that's still not the proper tool. So sometimes we might be getting things done, but it's still not getting you the results that you want. And so evaluate yourself, evaluate what you are doing, and not just always focus on everybody else.
Sierra, I really truly want to thank you for being on this episode for of the Being Yourself podcast. I've had a pleasure, and I would love to welcome you back and have further conversations and continue checking out on your journey. So thank you so much for taking the time.
I love what you're doing here, and I love that you're giving people this space to like just have a conversation. Like, I think you can learn a lot from a person and just having a conversation. The world really has us judging people by, you know, judging the book by its cover. And now it's almost as if it looks good, they got lashes on, they're driving a nice car. That doesn't mean that they're healthy within. And so I'm big on inner wellness. I care about you from the inside out. I don't care about how you look on the outside. How you feeling from the inside is what I'm more concerned about. So I love that you're giving people spaces here because really you are allowing them to check themselves before they wreck themselves, which just allowing them to have a conversation with themselves that we don't, that the world doesn't always slow down and let us have. So thank you for the space.
Yeah, no, thank you. And I hope to continue, you know, doing this type of work and providing others an opportunity for them to share their lived experiences. Because I agree with you. The whole purpose of this podcast when I created it was just to have conversations and learn from each other. And so I thank you again. Thank you so much. And we'll be in touch.
Have a great day. Thank you so much.